I find it no shock that one of the greatest people that we preach on, teach on, magnify out of the Bible was one of the most unqualified, unworthy people to do it. Some of you might see some and you look at them and you don't receive what they say because you don't like them. You don't give them the time of day because you just don't think they're right. Bitterness can set in if you're not too careful. I would never want to be in a place where I would have preference of how I would want God to move. I don't want to be in a place where we'll miss the anointing of God coming through somebody. You see, there were people that didn't like Paul. They liked Saul. They liked what he was doing, but they didn't like Paul. And you know how Paul had a ministry? God went forth in front of him and moved in all the journeys that he walked. So when the storms came for Paul, he was pushed to his limit, but he didn't break. He was on a ship, and it was shipwrecked. It was bound to sink. And an angel of the Lord came unto him, told him to tell those that were on the ship to not be afraid, that they would endure that storm. And that's what I feel like I'm doing tonight. Some of you came in real heavy. God sent me tonight, if nothing else for this, to tell you not to be afraid of what you're going through, that you will come through this storm. Not to be fearful of what you see, but he will bring you through this storm. So tonight, if we're going to cry anyway, and if we're going to hurt anyway, and if we're going to be suffering anyway, because we know it's coming, we know the storms are coming. If we're going to be in pain, and we're going to be unhappy, and we're going to walk through this thing with sorrows and much travail, I would say, let us just go ahead and yield unto God while we're here, so that when we come through, that we don't sink in the ship, but we come out on the other side of the shore, that even when we hit the shore, that when the serpents try to come up and strike you, that you'll just take it off, because you'll say, you don't already know what I've been through, you don't know the experience I've already had. Paul, I can imagine, was able to confound those, because not because of just the serpent alone, but because he had came through something and had faith and confidence in what he had been through. The encounter with God established who he was, and then the Holy Spirit came to give him a discipline to follow through. When we come in and worship God one day and come in absolutely just torn all to pieces a week later, we're like the person that built our house upon the sand. Because if you dug down deep enough in your life, you would be able to come in and endure the storm. We don't need to just build up quick and pray quick and move through everything quick and get our blessing quick and move on quick. And just because we feel good, think everything's going to be okay. I'm here to tell you the storm, if you're not going through it now, will come. There's been times I've been prepared for the storm, and other times I didn't even see it coming. Tragedy strike, circumstances rip away what you got. People that you loved turned against you. The job you could count on wasn't there. I don't know who I'm talking to, but I know God is sending this to somebody. God has given you enough experiences in your life to where you not only know who he is, but you know his power. Like we were singing tonight, there's power in his name. There's freedom in his name. There is the ability to go through this storm in victory. So I don't know about you, but as for me, I'm going to praise him in my storm. And I'm going to endure my storm. I'm not giving up. And I'm just asking God, when I get in his presence, Lord, what will you have me do? That's what God has me here for. That's the reason that God gave you an encounter. He didn't just redeem Paul for bragging rights, but he redeemed him so that he would go forth for the conversion of thousands upon thousands of people. One person went and established churches in more areas where there wasn't any than we've even accomplished today, with better technology, better transportation, better resources, and even better understanding of what we read through the anointing of God. We can't hardly even have a good time when we come. Presence of God absolutely comes down in the place, and we'll turn it away. Presence of the Lord gets on somebody. We don't usher it in by supporting them. Preacher's preaching his heart out, travailing, ripping out the insides of himself to just bring out the rivers of living water, and we just discard it like we've got to get somewhere else. Let me tell you, none of us are too important that something else is down the road more important than what you could get right now through the Word. I'm telling you right now, you might not like me preaching it, but if you will go and read this for yourself, then you will understand who God is, and you'll get to know him for yourself. If you have never experienced the Spirit of God bringing bring you joy. It's time that you will step into a greater joy. It's time that you will believe and have an experience with God that you never had. I'm telling you, I was raised up a Baptist boy. I'd heard people shout. I'd felt goosebumps. I'd felt the feel goods here and there. Then all of a sudden, one day when I was in the middle of a great big mess, God let me have an encounter with Him that not only delivered me, but I received the full baptism of the Holy Ghost. So now I not only know of God like I knew Him then, but He has anointed me with power to go forth and to minister the gospel. If you're going to be effective as a minister, you have got to be anointed with power. You have got to have an encounter with God. You've got to dig up everything that's in your life that would hinder you from getting in His presence. For if you are not in His presence, you cannot be led unto the truth. That's why we have ministers that stand today and preach something that's leading people to not be prepared for the storm. You might not like the preaching we preach here sometimes, but I'll tell you what we're doing. When the storm comes, if you'll listen to what we preach out of this place, you'll be ready to endure the things that are ahead of you. It's not always pretty. It's not always glamorous. It's not always fun. But when God will anoint the word with power, I would rather not have anything else than to have His word. The enemy is in hot pursuit of those that will believe. The same people that Paul had as Saul, as he was converted, immediately began to pursue him for the difference he was making. I want to ask you, did you think that when you started to obey God, that it would be without hardship? Did you think that when you would sing, that everything in your life would begin to be pieced in together and work perfectly? I'm here to tell you, some of the greatest songs I've ever heard and ever watched and ever listened to were from people that were in the worst of situations, people that were in a very bad place that were still believing in God. I've listened to some people that were dirt poor, not even able to afford to take a shower, come into the house of God and sing the glory of the Lord down in the middle of the church. I've seen people that wasn't able to rub two dimes together to make any money for themselves, but was able to bring in a great and mighty power of the anointing of God. So if you will just learn to take your situation and let God work it for your good, then you can have some experiences that when you look back on them, it will give you enough reason to come in and enjoy your life. So join us in our fight against the enemy. How do we fight against the enemy? We come in and be disciplined. You are disciplined when you will worship God regardless of what else happens. You are disciplined when you will follow through on your calling even when no one calls you up to do it. You are disciplined when you enter into His presence even when no one asks you to. You're disciplined when you will come in with a willingness to yield unto His Spirit even when nobody else seems to be getting in. Some of my greatest blessings, the greatest blessing I've received to date, came from a service that was the hardest night of my life I ever preached. I think I honestly would have rather stepped on a rusty nail than have done that experience again. But I'm telling you, when I came through that storm, God gave an increase in my finances. When I came through that trial, God gave me an increase in my workplace. When I came through that storm and served Him, I was walking in a greater blessing than the blessing I would have had I just sat down and been in fear and said, no, I can't go unto Him. He is Saul. He's one that persecuted the church. I can't go unto those that won't receive it. Get past that fear and begin to witness. You don't know what's going on beneath the surface. You see, God is concerned about your foundation. He's concerned about not your shutters and your paint color and your siding and your landscaping. Everybody sees what you wear and everybody sees what you drive and everybody knows where you work. God doesn't care. He's not concerned so much about what you drive as much as He is the foundation that you're built upon. If you're built upon the rock that I'm built on, you'll be able to give Him a shout right now in this place. If you're built upon the rock that I'm built on, it'll cause you to enter into His presence and to have an encounter with Him. Man, I feel the Holy Ghost. You can get in or you can sit back and enjoy watching me. But I'm telling you tonight, greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. I'm praising Him in my storm, and I refuse to accept the enemy wanting us just to build it up quick and make us think it's okay. Then when the storm comes, we're not ready. You see, I love you enough to take my time. I love you enough to tell you the truth. And I love you enough to do it, even when it's hard. I love you enough to try. I know it's not perfect, but I still try. You might not think that what you have and what you do is good enough, but you've got to try. You might not think the impact that you're having is very great, but you've got to try. You've got to ask God, Lord, what will you have me do? And if you'll mind him in what he gives you, the person that you were in the situation all of a sudden becomes the person that is elevated out of it and able to minister to it. You'll know when you've been delivered, when you're able to look back on the things you used to sin in and feel sorry for the people that do it. You'll be able to look back on the things that you've done and live in fear of ever returning to the place that you used to be. And then one day, when you've had a great experience with God, you'll not only enjoy it for yourself, but like Paul, your heart will be concerned for the people that are around you. And my heart is concerned. I've been praying for this church. I've been in travail. I've seen how the devil saw the good that was going on and has tried to absolutely shut it down. And I've been praying much. And as I pray, I see people come and go. I see people be up and be down. But I'm down to the rock, brother. I don't know anything else to do. And as I pray, slowly but surely, I'm seeing progress begin to be made in people's lives. I'm beginning to see people all of a sudden that didn't have strength begin to rise up into a new life. I'm seeing people at this church that used to be afraid of obeying God starting to step out in a greater way. I'm seeing people that used to be afraid to shout and lift their hands all of a sudden being able to step up and worship to the challenge that the Spirit gives us to do. I'm seeing growth in church. If we want to see this place prosper, you've got to get down to the rock and call out for it. You can't just come in and expect the house to be built up quick, because if our foundation isn't ready, this whole place will be knocked over to the side and we won't be able to endure things. We won't even be able to encourage each other. There's coming a day where our economy won't be our comfort. There's coming a day where health care won't be so easy to find. And I'll ask you tonight, where are you going to trust when the storm comes over your life? Who do you believe in when the storm begins to rage and the thunder begins to roll and the lightning begins to strike? Who are you going to trust in when everything you used to have, all the shutters begin to break? Then you've got to get down to where you can't be blown over. Oh, you've got to get down to the foundation. You've got to get down to the rock. If you know nothing else, Paul said, I know nothing except Jesus Christ and him crucified. All he knew was the encounter that he had with God. He didn't know. He wasn't of great knowledge when he started out, but he was given knowledge and power and shared people of his experience of who he used to be. You see, God saw fit to use somebody that could minister not only to the Pharisees and those of Judaism, but also to the Gentiles. So it's safe to say that we have a church today from a man that asked one day, Lord, what will you have me do? Our church is established as we know it from one man that listened to the voice of Jesus. You might think that you're enjoying your life right now without God. And there might be people out there that you're witnessing to that may think that they've got it all figured out. But let me tell you when you're going to be able to witness to them. When that storm comes in their life and everything they've known is knocked away, you'll still be standing in a foundation and be able to offer a hand of compassion. And that's what ministry is. It's not how well you know God's word. It's not that you can be called to be an eloquent speaker. It's not that you're even knowledgeable in what you read. But ministry is not bound to preaching. Ministry is out of the bowels of your compassion. Ministry is what you will do with what you have found from God. I'm going to ask you something, and you give yourself an honest answer. You don't have to tell me. But has God done enough for you that you're able to still praise him when the storm is raging? Is he not there for you every time you open your mouth to pray? Man, I feel God. Has he not been there when you didn't have much and he made it out to be something? Has he not walked with you when you walked alone? I can't help it. Has he not been there when the church forsaked you, when preacher forsaked you, prophet wasn't there, when they weren't there to encourage you? God will be there in your storm. There's no need to give up now. Dig down to the foundation of what you know is real in God. And that's what you cling to. You don't wait on somebody to start shouting to realize how good God is. You don't wait on a preacher to get all stirred up to begin to praise God for the good things He does. Humbleness is produced when we will break the ground of our life. He didn't just find the rock on the shore. He had to dig to it. Digging up and uprooting things is lowering your pride and embracing humbleness. The Bible said the meek shall inherit the earth. When we plant our seeds in ministry and we doubt in what we've done, you're just digging the ground back up and taking up the seed you just planted. Probably about 8 months ago, the Lord showed me that in a vision that I was planting, and then when I would leave services, the enemy would beat me up. I was just going right back to what I just planted and pulling it right out of the ground. And God wants us to obey Him without fear and essentially leave it on the field and not worry about the repercussions of people, because we know that God is more concerned about your heart than your appearance. Looks can be deceiving, so you don't have to shout all the time to get a good word. You don't have to scream to get a good word. You don't have to run the pews to get a good word. You just have to listen. A hearer of the word is a man that builds upon the sand, but a doer of the word is one that will dig down to the rock. What will you have me do, Lord? Ananias was sent unto him, and the understanding was given unto him as the Spirit was given to him. He then went forth and operated in some of the greatest missionary journeys that are documented that we read of today. I strive to be as Paul, to not be the person I used to be, but to be the person that God has called me to be. And Lord, help us all to get in our calling and be sure of it. Lord, help us all just to be willing to do what He's called us to do. Because if everybody came in ready to serve Him, God wouldn't have to bring in 2,000-3,000 people to get 2 or 3 saved. There'd be enough people in the church to make a difference. Where we make it complicated is that we always try to look at the house instead of the foundation. We're looking at how flashy things are, how great the quality of a song is, or how fast the song is, or how excited a preacher gets, or how anointed that it seems to be looking on the surface. But God wants to move inside of your foundation. He's wanting to establish a discipline within you like He did with Paul. You may have to walk around blind until you receive the truth, but God will speak to you and show you the way. The Lord gave me understanding probably about 3 months after I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and He was teaching me that I was moving out of exhortation into preaching His word. And I was afraid. I was scared to death. I thought, God, I just can't do this. I'm too backward. My personality doesn't exactly promote being an outgoing minister of the word. I don't hardly enjoy being able just to talk to people, because I have a hard time sometimes just having conversation. I was scared to death. But all of a sudden, that which I knew of that He had done before, the things that I knew of my experiences, I began to step out of exhortation and praise and minister the gospel because of what I was willing to yield to. Some of you in here are just one step of obedience away from coming out of exhortation into being disciplined in your calling. You just got to dig down deep enough to where you know that what God gives you is real and true. You're just a few steps away from stepping into a deeper walk with God. You've just got to look at all the good times you've had, all the times He's been there, and you will understand and realize how great that He is. I'm glad tonight that you came. And I'm glad tonight that God has given me this opportunity to share this with you. There's going to be a season we're going to walk through as a nation where we're going to have to begin to dig down deep in our hearts. This is a serious word if I've ever spoken. We're going to have to dig down into our hearts to where we're able to trust God, whether we have a lot or a little, whether people are for us or against us, whether the cards are dealt in our favor or whether they appear not to be. We've got to get strength from what we know in God. If all that we knew is that He saved us, that was enough. But He's blessed us with more than enough. He's not a God of just enough. He's a God that's more than enough. And He's given us all exceedingly, abundantly, above all which we have ever asked for. Everything we ever desired, He's given us more than that. So that tells me that we have to be a people of more than just enough. that we've got to learn to be a church that's more than enough, more than just doing the model of church and more than just going through the motions. Because if you want to just go through the motions, I can give you the names of four or five places you can go now and get out in less than an hour and feel like that you've almost been to church. I can give you some places that you can go and feel like that. But let me tell you, when the storm comes your way, it's going to be hard to walk through without the help of what you know. Because outside looking in is always so easy for somebody to tell you when you're in a hard time. They're like, oh, if you just do this, everything will be all right. Don't have to worry about it. Just do this, this, and this. And from what I can tell, in my opinion, if you do this, you'll be okay. But when you do an inside looking out, it looks a whole lot different. And God's ministering to us from the inside out. That's the way He works. He starts in the heart and works His way out into our lives. That's why He said to seek Him. Seek the kingdom of heaven and His righteousness, and all these other things shall be added to you. Seek Him for your inward condition, that He may bless your external condition. Seek Him that you would find that treasure. You know what that treasure really is? It's the confidence of your faith. That's why it's precious. Because once you find it, nobody could ever tell you that you didn't have it. Once God's done it for you, nobody can take it away from you. No demon in hell can take away what God has done greatly for you. No enemy, no weapon ever used against you could ever take the experience that you've had with God. So you might feel like that you've been walking alone, but I'm here to tell you, I've been walking with you. I feel like I've been walking alone for a while, feeling like that all the things I see around me, that people are getting the things that I'm desiring for, that people are getting blessed with the things I'm seeking for, that people are getting blessed seemingly for the same things I'm asking for, and I begin to wonder, God, have I missed it? What am I doing wrong? But then I examine as their lives are going forward that when something happens, all the things that they were blessed with don't mean anything because they're miserable. They're unhappy. They can't even enjoy rolling out of the bed. There's just no joy in their life. And God has given us the provision of His Spirit that when we roll out of the bed and we still don't have it, that we can still have joy. I'm telling you, with all that's in me, if you ever hear a word I ever tell you, you have got to learn to get to a place where you and God can have a good time together. You have got to learn to pray in the Spirit. You have got to learn to build a discipline to keep praying until you get in His presence. Because if it's just words and frustration, you're building your house upon the sand. It's shaky, it shifts, and it's not solid. But if you will get in the presence of the Spirit and pray in the Spirit, you will begin to see things when the storm comes, not waver, not fall over. What's the phrase? The weeble and wobble, but they don't fall down. I'm excited. I am. You know why? Because I know that when the storm is over, sister, that I'm still going to be standing. Other people around me might fall over, but I'm going to keep on. I'm going to stand. I hope 50 years from now that I'm pastoring a church one day still telling them to stand. I hope that I can keep striving to encourage my brothers and sisters to stay on the foundation. So you're going to have to put up with me looking the same and sounding the same and making a fool of myself and having a good time, because I'm telling you, I'm not changing it for you. I'm not changing it for the person down the road. I'm going to live my life in the fullness of joy that God has given me to live in. If I don't start living it now, I'm going to be 60 years old one day looking back on my life and said, what could have been, what I could have done, what I could have accomplished. And my biggest fear is not death. My biggest fear is living a life without knowing your purpose and doing it. I'm not afraid of death. Death might come to my doorstep tonight, but what I'm afraid of is not following what God has called me to do. And when I face that day of judgment, having no rhyme or reason or good enough excuse to answer God of why didn't you do? Why didn't you witness? Why didn't you speak to those that needed you? Why didn't you minister the word when I gave you the answer? Why didn't you go forth? I don't want the blood to be on my hands. I want my hands to be clean and able to help you go on another step. Don't look back one day on your life and say, what could have been? You've got to learn to live today, this service, this night. You can either let it bore you to tears, or you can let God humble you to tears. I'm telling you, hindsight's always 20/20. When you get in a place where you're just scrapping here and there just to find a bite to eat, then when you actually go through a season where you have a lot of food, you don't really care about what you eat because as long as it fills you up, you're fine. I didn't used to always have as good of clothes as I have now. Blew all my money on other stuff. And now I realize that, man, if I just have clothes on my back, that's all that matters. Why do I worry about trying to fit in with the world's model of what's cool and what's trendy and what we have to look like to be accepted by society? I'm telling you, we get so caught up in the models that the world has set. You know, the world is even trying to set a new church model, trying to pull away the truth of the word, trying to pull the anointing out of prayer service, trying to pull away the Holy Ghost from the teaching in Sunday school, trying to pull away any presence of having a real encounter with God other than just accepting through spoken confession that Jesus is Lord. And so people will say they know of Jesus, but they've not had an encounter that will keep them on a foundation. And when the storm comes for them, they'll be out of church just as quick as you heard that they were in church. And they'll be back out in the world just as quick as they said that God moved for them. And we have got to learn to rebel against the model that people are setting up to be the status quo of what church is. We've got to learn to mess it all up. We've got to learn to let people see our hair down and let our hair be crazy and let our shirt come untucked from getting happy in God and letting things happen and just letting the anointing have its freedom. For if we put a strain on the Spirit and we quench the Spirit, we're not letting the free flow of God's will come to pass. And those that need a move from God, you see, we'll walk away and probably have God's mercy on our situation, but when we don't let the freedom of the Spirit happen, there's somebody that's sitting in the midst that still goes out lost that God had sent to be saved. See, we want to blame it on circumstance, or blame it on the minister, or blame it on them taking too long in the choir, blaming them on doing the 20-minute medley for somebody not being able to get saved. But I'm telling you, when people go out lost, it's our fault. I've always found that when the anointing really falls and we're having a real encounter, that those that are convicted either can come up or they got to go. The Bible talks about it being like heaps of coal upon your head. You won't be able to stand being in the glory of God. We have got to learn to step up to that. We have got to learn to break away from the model of what people are calling church. I'm not saying there's nothing wrong with having a form, but don't be afraid to follow God instead of the form, because you might miss your blessing if you don't praise Him right then. I noticed I found myself tonight praising in between songs, and man, I got a blessing out of that. But brother, you had to wait till the song was gone to praise Him. Or brother, you got to wait till somebody's saying something to shout. But that's where my blessing was tonight. That's when I felt God's hand begin to move. Just following Him when He leads you. If you take anything away from this, you've got to look on the times that you've had an experience with God and let it cause you to rekindle and dig deep again in your heart and say, God, what can I do for You? God, what do I need to get rid of that my life can be not what I am now, but what I can be of what's ahead of me. If you'll examine yourself, you won't need me to counsel with you and tell you what needs to change, because that is the duty of the Spirit. As we have it, as we learn of Him and know His Spirit, He teaches us how to live, how to talk, what to do, what to say. I've been praying, and as we've been praying through the past, I don't know, probably 9 or 10 days, we've had some really great prayer services here and there, and God has moved in amazing ways, and I've heard wonderful testimonies. And so I know that, as for me, I know that I'm beginning to tap into something great, and I'm beginning to see my life go down a path I'd never walked before, because the things that I always proclaim that we believe, I'm actually beginning to do them in my personal life through and through all day long, 24/7, and I'm beginning to see God's hand move. So I'm expecting that to happen here in this place. And if we don't begin to get in and move, God will move out those that are willing, and it'll just be like another church down the road. You don't want to get to that place. You have got to learn to let God move, so that when you step out and obey Him, that He'll bless you. And when the Spirit moves to follow it, that when you yield to it, you'll have an experience with Him. I don't know if I'll ever strive to do the great deeds and accolades as Paul did, but I'm going to strive with the same MO that he had. Lord, what will You have me do? God, what can I do to serve You? That's what I ask every day. And that's what I believe that we're going to have to get to if we're going to keep going forward with a passion. You can come in here and sit without passion. You can praise without passion. It looks like it's good, but inside you're not changing. Your countenance is not being different. And when people discern your spirit, they still see that even though the hands are up, that inside you're still down. And that's what the Spirit wants to do. He wants to take you from the place you're at, like Paul was, and open your eyes by faith to a greater blessing.